This is Martin Stewart with a life in sound from the listening planet.
So today we're going to travel to Costa Rica. It's one of my favourite places on earth and somewhere that you also decided to make home, Martin. So are we ready? Now, you originally moved from Washington State. What year was it?
We decided to go and look at land in 2017. And 2018, we bought land, had houses and my dream studio built down there. And we actually left in January 2019 and drove from Seattle to Miami, dumped the car off. Rue got on the plane with Bucket, our little white Labrador. And I had to go the long way via Nicaragua with Pocket because he was so big, he was like a horse.
Yeah, and where did you land? Where did you end up?
I ended up in Playa Pelada, which is the next little village down from Nosara in Guanacaste. It's just, you know, they call it a blue zone.
There's only about three. Tell me what blue zone is.
Blue zone is supposed to be the healthiest environment you could wish to be in, and there's longevity in there. I could do with some blue zones now, I think.
So, Nazara, I had the privilege of coming to stay with you and with my family, and you're right next to Nazara in the Nogueira Peninsula, and I can't even begin to explain how pristine the beaches are, the lush tropical forests, but I've never, ever heard a dawn chorus like the one that woke me up in the morning. It's actually, Martin, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to start there. It actually blew my mind. Tell me what you hear every morning when you wake up. Tell me the characters, tell me what the setting is.
When I first heard the dawn chorus before you'd come down, it was like being mugged with a gang of monkeys. It was crazy. It's because the night and the day is probably the same. You get 12 hours day, 12 hours night. There's no debating about it. It's just there. And 6 o'clock at night, the cicadas start calling and you look at your clock and you think, okay, it's night. Coming down, sun's gone. And then the dawn, the monkeys fill the trees, howler monkeys, and they wake everybody up. You know, wake up. The only thing they haven't got is a bunch of saucepans banging wooden spoons.
But they're guttural roar. So when it blends in a soundscape, you can't hear how loud the volume of these creatures is. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, low frequency sounds travel along further as well, which makes it more interesting. You got high frequency birds singing in the canopies and the sounds drop out over a period, over a distance. But the howler monkeys, you can hear them for miles throughout.
Yeah.
And there's some beautiful, beautiful places just around where you were staying with us. The Boca itself, which is the river, and this reserve, which is at the side of it, of Playa Pelada. I loved it there. It was just absolutely, you were in a dream. So the soundscapes were lush. I remember when I finally got there with Pocket, we had no furniture in the house from Seattle. And I said to Rue, I'm going to go and explore, take my recorder and my mic and my cables, headphones, and just go down the road. And they're all dirt tracks. There's nothing sealed or anything. And I took my little trusty stool so I could sit my ass on it in the morning. And I had no shoes on. And my legs were getting bitten by all these fire ants. and I was itching all over, but I tried to stay quiet and still, and it was almost like I'd been shot and woken up in heaven. For me,
yeah,
to be able to go out in the morning without the intrusion of man-made sounds is heaven to me. And it's almost like you're taken back to your youth, you know, when you've got less people on the planet making a racket. And I came back absolutely ecstatic and said to Roo, this is where we needed to be. This is just everything. I don't care what you do in life. I don't care. I've got my jungle and rainforest, you know, so I can just record.
Had you just been on a trip and then decided after the trip that you were going to abandon Washington and move to...
My studio in Redmond, Washington, I'd go from the kitchen, go through the living room into my studio, and Rue would be watching these House Hunter International programs, and she'd be on the couch and stuff, and I'd come through with my cup of tea or whatever, and I saw this program on Costa Rica where they're given three or four houses to choose from, or they get a choice of land and they build the house and they show you over time them moving from one place to the next. And I just said to her that I stopped. I sat on the corner of the chair. I said, wow, look at that. You fancy doing that? And within an hour and a half, she was looking for flights to go down to Nosara. Serious.
So no.
We went down, we had a look. We fell in love with the idea. I said, let's just get out of Washington State, because Washington State's beautiful, but it's bloody freezing. And it was just her dream.
Do you know how many people think that? People think it, Martin, all the time, but they don't. Like, it's very rare that you get to act upon it. I'd like you to introduce us to some of the characters that we're going to meet down there. So we talked about the Howler Monkey, which is definitely one of my favourite. But you'd also hear these incredible tropical birds. Describe the setting, actually, for people who haven't been there. We're in tropical rainforest.
There's a dry season and there's a wet season, and when you encounter the dry season, you don't need product for your hair. Your hair stands up like Leo Sayer or Art Garfunkel, and it's dry. There's dust everywhere. There's a cloud everywhere. It gets in your face, and you think, wow, this is unbelievable. And then the end of April, the rains come. It's beautiful. Humidity is unbelievable. The sounds, like you say, it's like this full-on orchestra. And, of course, the first thing I want to do is go out and identify everything that's calling. So I was listening to mannequins and all the different doves that were around. There were toucans, there were quetzals, there's a whole cacophony of sound coming from all these different instrumentalists. Beautiful, these vocalists. So I found a place. There was a really brilliant guy who's a good friend of mine. He's a Tico down there. He was a partner of the guy who built a house and a studio. And his name is Manta. And he took me into a special place of his, because we were both connected through nature, and he took me through this drive through the river on the 4x4. We went through with Aldous and you and Dan, remember?
Yeah, we did.
And I discovered birds that weren't supposed to be there through recordings. There was the Montezuma Aura Pendula.
So I love the Montezuma Aura Pendula, and we even used it on Biophonica.
The first time I recorded the Aura Pendula, I think, was in Belize. The noise that they bring out as Syrinx is just phenomenal, and it became my favourite sound. So I was in this finca with Manta, who took us through, and I could see these nests, and I said to Manta, those are Aura Pendulas, and he said, yes, they are. He said what they were in Spanish. And then the noise from the forest was this call of these Aura Pendulas. So I was in awe, you know. You just think, wow, this is in my back garden. Everything here is in my back garden now. All I got to do is just throw a bottle of water in the truck, put my microphone and my my seat and go off and record these things. Whereas before, when you're in Seattle, you've got to go miles to go and try and find somewhere that's quiet. This was my heaven.
Tell me about the... I also really like the sound of the mannequins.
The mannequins are cool. There's a mnemonic, which is a term for a bird phrase that people use. Where are you? Where are you? And when you get this mnemonic in your head, you can't get rid of it. It's like we were talking the other night with Blinky Bill with the United Nations launch, and he asked me the name of this bird that he always hears in Nairobi, remember? And I found it through a mnemonic because of the way he was describing it. I am the red-eyed dove. I am the red-eyed dove. I am the red-eyed dove.
I am the red-eyed dove.
I said, I know what it is. It's so in Nosara, the mannequins all around where we were living had that, where are you? Where are you? And they drive you nuts. They drive you nuts. So I get these little mnemonics in my head and I identify bird sound from those. They're not the ones everyone uses, they're just the ones I use, you know, I put these crazy terminologies to them all.
And tell me about the... So you put out an album with The Listening Planet, which was called Costa Rica Dry Jungle, and I think it was recorded in Finca, Austria, is that
right? Finca,
that's in
Austria.
Guanacaste province of Costa Rica. So tell me more about... Because it's incredible countryside... the tropical rainforests. Tell me about some of the soundscapes that we'd hear in that recording.
Well, like I say, the dry season is a different sound signature to the wet season. And when it rains, you've got the sounds of rain dripping off glossy leaves, and you have these beautiful Guanacaste trees and all different species of trees which all give certain sound signatures. And it's all part of this sound, you know, that you listen to, the cracking and the breaking and the dropping of leaves. And then the first birds that start coming in. There's this melodious blackbird, which is also one of the first times I think I recorded up in Belize. So I knew that, and I knew there's a bird called the clay-coloured robin, which I think they've changed the name now to the clay-coloured thrush. And I think it's adopted as the bird of Costa Rica. It's their national bird. They have a mnemonic too, which is... And it's that squeal, and you think, oh my God, you're here. Then that with the mannequins and the doves, and then the toucans and the parrots, and the whole lot of them, you know.
Tell me, how does a toucan sound? How does a toucan sound, Martin?
And then there are tinamous as well, which are these like chicken type birds, which you hear. You don't see a lot of birds. You don't see a lot of critters. And then, of course, you've got the howler monkeys. Yes. And they're everywhere.
Always in the backdrop.
They're always in the backdrop. It's just incredible, as you can hear now.
So what's the if I jump from the Guanacaste province, which is literally where you lived, and even the recording in Finca, Austria is about 20 minutes drive, I think, from you. I want to jump over to probably the most remote destination in Costa Rica, which is the Oss Peninsula, and it's that part that juts out into the sea at the southern end of Costa Rica's Pacific coast, and it's known to be an ecological gem. An incredible biodiversity. I found a stat that said it represents 2.5% of the world's biodiversity and only is in 0.001% of the Earth's surface. And here we can hear everything from jaguars to scarlet macaws, poison dart frogs. So let's skip across to Oss Peninsula. And I know that you did a recording that you released called Costa Rica Dreams. Tell me about the soundscape of the Oss Peninsula.
The Oss Peninsula is a real special place, and the first time we went down there to record, we hired this old Suzuki Jeep thing, and we got it from San Jose, and we drove down. And the beauty of the place was there's no electricity, so it's all eco places, you know. We stayed at an eco lodge. But you had to park like 2 miles away, and then the only way you could get to the eco lodge was along the beach. So they bring a cart and a donkey, and you put all your luggage on it, and they pull it across the sands. We went for a night walk first of all when we got there, and with a tracker that told us that the jaguar is present.
Oh.
So we didn't hear a jaguar. I didn't hear a jaguar any time that I was there. But you, that kind of feeling that you knew it was in the vicinity.
Yeah.
So I put an audio box out for a week. So it was recording every half an hour, so just to give me an idea what was calling, what was singing. It's always a nice bass then. So if the audio box tells me that this is a practically pristine environment to record in, then there's minimal editing that I need to do. It's kind of set on a slopey area. It's very hard to navigate through the Ossa Peninsula at the south end. But when you get to a point where you can record, you've got water rolling down the hills, you've got brooks and streams, you've got rain, you've got thunder. Some of the thunder cracks are just, they frighten the shit out of you, you know. we get requests for thunder and rain so people can sleep too, and I kind of understand that. And yet a lot of people think, my God, it's frightening.
I mean,
my dog can't sleep when there's a thunderstorm. No. He's on my bed, you know, straight away. But again, the soundscapes are just unbelievable. So it's again, you go to Costa Rica and you go to all these places. The Ossa Peninsula is a special place.
And did you record in Corcovado National Park?
National Park, yes. Corcovado National Park. And there's a research place which I managed to get up to as well, where you even have the sounds of crocodiles in the mornings.
Did you record crocodiles?
Yeah, I got crocodiles.
And you didn't have any, like, ridiculous escapes from crocodiles?
No, not there. Not there. You kind of know they're there again, you know, so you don't go wandering in the bush in the night. You absolutely don't, unless you got a torch. But again, the monkeys are there. And then there's...
And you've also got the capuchins there as well, haven't you?
The capuchins are there, the spider monkeys. You've got sloths, which...
But you were telling me the other day, don't really make a sound.
Someone asked me if I got a sound of a sloth. Because they've seen a sloth, they think everything, you know, vocalises. It probably does, but it spends a week up a tree and then only comes down the tree for a crap. And then it goes back up again. Or should I say, it comes down to defecate to keep it correct.
It comes
correct.
Down to defecate. What are some of the other... So how long did you stay down on the Ossa Peninsula for?
We stayed down there for a week. We did a couple of night walks. The poison dart frogs are amazing. Then, you know, there's an introduced species which seems to get everywhere, is the cane toad. The cane toad was present in Vinca, Austria as well, through the nightscapes. And they're quite a definite... I love the sound of the cane toad. I think it's beautiful. It's got that... I can't do animal sounds. But it has a distinctive call about it. And they're kind of great.
Tell me what the vegetation feels like. We talk a lot about the sounds, but tell me what the... What am I physically in and surrounded by?
You're with deciduous and non-deciduous plants. You get a lot of tropical plants. It's almost like going down to the flower shop, you know, and going and seeing aglaminas, and you're seeing spatophylliums, you're seeing guanacaste trees, pine trees, you're seeing all different types of ferns. There are ferns like licorice ferns, there are ferns like resurrection ferns. The resurrection ferns are incredible. They're the ones where in the dry season everything looks like it's dead, but when the rains come, suddenly they're rejuvenated and they're just beautiful and proud and green and lush. And the sounds of rain bouncing off all these different leaves and different types of plants are unique, completely unique. You can't replicate that in a northern hemisphere. You can't do it. You know, if you blindfolded, you were blindfolded and you were dropped off and you, besides all the tropical birds and stuff, if you were just to listen to rain itself, you would know you were in a type of rainforest like that, tropical rainforest.
One of the things that I liked a lot about when I was there as well is that it feels as though, and tell me if this is incorrect, it feels as though it's very geared towards sustainability, conservation, tourism is far more based on ecotourism. And I remember that when my daughter, so when India was over with Rue recently, she was really fascinated with the turtle conservation that I believe is on the beach near to where you used to live. Right? Did you ever go and see the turtles?
I volunteered to help stop the poaching that was going on there. So you go out and you patrol the beach 4 o'clock in the morning to stop the locals coming in, digging up the eggs and selling them. They sell them for $1 in the bars and they consider them as an aphrodisiac, which is just an absolute bunch of poppycock. But the Ridley's turtles, and when you see the Ridley's turtles coming, I've recorded the turtles. I've recorded their grunts and their breathlessness. You know, it takes them maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours to dig a hole, lay their eggs, and then cover all their eggs up and go back out to sea. But when you see the hatchlings come out, normally they're about 50-odd days after the laying of the eggs, and you see all these little turtles trying to race back to the ocean. And you can't help them. You can't pick them up and go and throw them into the sea, because they need to have that imprint in their minds so that when they come back 22 years later to lay their own eggs, they know exactly where they're coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's phenomenal. I mean, you see that. If you don't show emotion from something quite as spectacular as that, there must be something wrong with you. It's beautiful.
Tell me about some of the other conservation work that's happening down in Costa Rica. Anything else that...
Well, the monkeys are always in trouble because the power lines are being put up without sheaves on the electricity lines. So they're frequently being electrocuted. So there's a couple of rehab places that rehab the monkeys after that. But like everything else, I mean, Costa Rica's beautiful and the ecosystem is pretty strong. But even in 6 years, I go back there, I wouldn't recognise it. Because it's, you know, it's like suddenly this city starting to explode. Everybody wants to be there because it's beautiful, because it's paradise. And a lot of people go to Nosara to surf, so it's a kind of surfing paradise. It's the central part of Central America that every surfer wants to go and throw their board into the ocean and surf on it. But it's the land that we bought and put our houses on now. Rue tells me you'd never recognise the street, which is a great shame.
It's so hard, isn't it, that you want to go somewhere to escape and then everybody else also wants
to escape.
Everyone's
following you.
Everyone's following. And then you end up not being in that same pristine environment. And even going to the Osa Peninsula, it's so protected. But again, more and more people are going to somewhere that's always been, even till recently, quite inaccessible for lots of people.
If you look at Nosara itself, and go into old Nosara, there's two different worlds. You see poverty and you see, you know, the opulence of places like Nosara and these upmarket restaurants. Locals can't afford to go and eat in those at all. But we used to go to the locals' restaurants out in Nosara by the airport and have rice and beans, because it just made you feel kind of humble. But whereas a lot of the tourists that go to Nosara never go as far as the ocean. They won't go into the rainforest, which is a good thing to me because it keeps them out, you know.
What are some of your favourite places in Costa Rica? Like if you were gonna, if I was gonna go there again,
Arenal is beautiful, where the volcano is.
Mm.
You know, you've got a different, when you border on Nicaragua, it's kind of wild up there still. So there's a lot of places where you can, where I can drop a mic in and record for a long time. There's a national park which is on the border, which I forget the name of Nicaragua, Costa Rica. It's just above Tamarindo. And there's a healthy population of jaguars up there, which is good. My favourite place of all is the Osa Peninsula.
But I imagine you must have met some amazing people in Costa Rica.
Mm.
Because you do, it does attract a lot of people who are committed to conservation. And so I imagine that there's just more of a group of people who are committed to protecting the natural world, or maybe that's
there is
idealistic sensibility.
And a good friend of the Listening Planet, Santiago Roberts, is doing some great work down there, trying to involve people in acoustic biology, and he's showing them places through sound rather than visual. The Sabu rehabilitation place for animals, they do some great work and they need all the help they can get, you know, with fundraising. They do great stuff.
And what's Sabu committed to?
For monkey rehabilitation.
Oh, this is monkey rehabilitation.
Animals.
Yeah.
You know, they rehabilitate and relocate howler monkeys that have been caught on power lines. And their trees are being cut down. So one of the biggest enemies down there are the realtors, because they sell everything, you know. They get a bit of land and you're going to sell it. And everyone's selling land. Even now in my email program, I get, you know, property for sale and stuff at great prices. Come down to your beautiful paradise in Costa Rica. It's a universal problem. It's not just Costa Rica. It's everywhere.
Did you record anything, any of the marine life or any of the ocean?
I dropped a microphone into the ocean, into the river. I did some stuff in the Boca Nosara, the river at the bottom of Playa Pelada, and recorded of crocodiles under the water. It's just another world. It's just fantastic, you know.
I remember when you had us go canoeing. What river were we on?
That was the Boca.
And you had your legs dangling in the Boca, and we're going along in the canoe, and then suddenly we see crocodiles. I've never been so scared. Oh my goodness. The fact that I'm alive still.
I never think about it, you know. I just think, all the places I've been in the world, if I start thinking about the things that's going to eat you, I'd never go anywhere. So, what's a couple of feet, you know, dangling in the water?
So if you could go back to Costa Rica, and you're only allowed to go to one place, I'm assuming it's the Osa Peninsula, but what haven't you recorded there that you'd love to go back and record?
Oh, there's a hell of a lot of stuff I haven't recorded there. I mean, to think that you've recorded the whole of Costa Rica would be arrogant. Tortillas National Park on the Atlantic side, which is just spectacular up there. I've only ever touched that once with Roo. There's so many different things. I mean, there's so many different species of parrots. There's so many different manakins. There's so many different thrushes and warblers. And when you see some of the birds that you encounter in North America, they have a different kind of call signature to them, which is interesting. So I'd like to have the whole vocabulary basically of all the passerines that sing away and just put them to that collection. But soundscapes of the of Costa Rica, wherever you are, as long as you're not in urban areas, is just beautiful. I'd like to add to all that still.
Thank you, Martin.
You've just experienced another journey on the Listening Planet podcast. Dive deeper into the world of natural sounds by connecting with us online. Visit our website or follow us on social media. Let the symphony of nature surround you wherever you go. Happy listening.